Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, May the 4th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. I'm waiting on Michael to join us here. We are in day 10 of our 12-day teacher's training, and it has been phenomenal. So, Michael, if you'll... There you are. Okay. Switchboard's a little bit behind by a couple of seconds, so welcome, Michael. Okay. We're not hearing you on the... Yep, you're not coming across. Okay. So he's going to try to dial in again. So while we're doing that, this show is about Aramaic forgiveness, and that is different from what our culture has taught us to forgive as letting another person off the hook. You and I interact, and I become angry. If I say, but I forgive you, that does nothing to address my anger. Aramaic forgiveness is going inside and removing my anger so that no matter what happens in my world, I can stay connected to my source. And so let's try it again. Dr. Tim, perhaps it's my phone. Can you hear Michael talking?
No, only through your phone.
Okay, so it's not working. Maybe it's your headset. Take the headset off and just try it through the phone. All right.
Okay, let's see if that's any better.
That's better.
You hear me all right?
Yep.
Okay, well, I must have a bad headset here, so I'll just pitch this headset and say welcome, everybody, to the show once again. I've already said this once today, but we'll say it again. We're delighted, we're honored, we're blessed by the fact that you're here and that we get to play in this arena of first century Aramaic forgiveness and all the corollary tools that come out of working with those principles. And we are in the, let's see, day 17. Well, day 17 of a 20-day intensive, day 10 of the teacher training. We've got two more days, and we're complete on Wednesday morning, and then we start wending our way toward Atlanta, which will be where our next series of workshops is. We've got about a week to get there, so we've got a little bit of an intermission. We're going to stop and see some friends in High Springs and in Gainesville, and then be on our way to Atlanta. So if you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area, we've got a full week scheduled, Sunday service, Sunday afternoon, Monday through Friday, free workshops, 7 to 9:30, and then, of course, on Saturday, Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, that one workshop that we do charge a fee for. So that's where we'll be. Come and join us. We'd be delighted to have you there. And the intensive is rolling along, some deep, deep, deep processing happening, major events occurring. We actually had a young lady who works in the hotel and has been going through some really serious physical, mental, family challenges. A child at the age of 5 or 6, I don't remember exactly the age of her daughter, but is having trouble reading and can't remember words. And, you know, they're putting signs all around the house and So she came in this morning. She did just the why is this happening to me, again, component of the workshop, and, of course, learned about breathing five, 7 days ago or so. And she came in this morning at the beginning of the class just to share with us the story of how she took her daughter through a brief. Her daughter was literally on the floor raging about not being able to remember the words, and she's not going to pass at school. She's in grade one and all of that. And she stopped, asked her daughter to get up, and connected hands with her, did basically a love exchange, invited her to breathe and step into love. And within a matter, she didn't actually say the time frame, but by the day, time the day was out, her daughter had memorized 20 of the words that she needed to memorize, that for several days she had not been able to retain one of them. So kind of fun to just watch how the tools get applied everywhere that they get applied. And the classroom is just moving in such deep ways, and I think deep insights coming for everybody. Actually, I'll send the file to Jeannie, and we'll maybe get it on the website shortly after the radio show. But we have a slightly renovated version of the worksheet, and just actually minor changes, but minor significant changes. So we'll put that up on the website. There's some nice new tweaks to it. So you can look at whyagain.org, and once it's up, and I give it till maybe 2:30 after the show, send the file to Jeannie, and we'll hopefully get it up there. So if you go to whyagain.org, whyagain.org, and click the bullseye in the middle of the page, clicking that bullseye, and the first link will be a link to the latest 7-step reality management process. And Tim, we did return the words reality management into the top of the sheet so that it's there, and we've got that reference point, and add a few other little tweaks. One of the things that you had mentioned, I think it was you, Tim, that last week had mentioned the thought of if I'm in pain, I'm in error. And so we did, it's a thought that I'd taken from the previous worksheets, but we had someone else in the class who reinforced the importance of that to them, and so we put that back into the sheet. And so it's just slightly renovated, and hopefully takes it to the next level of subtle support for learning the process of forgiveness, for learning to change the content of our minds, getting to the root of what never belonged in us, which is any form of hostility or fear, and really, truly functioning as we're designed to function as true human beings. And, of course, our definition of a human life is really simple, very experiential. You're never going to find a definition for human life in words, but if you hold a newborn and you tap into the energy of that newborn, you'll have your experience of human life. And our thesis is that you and I are designed to live in that experience 24/7, 365. And if we're not, we've got a problem. And the problem is that for some situation, some circumstance, some sort of a goal, we get that is about something outside of us, we've actually literally given up our human lives. And so the work ultimately is about restoring us to the truth of who we are as human beings, as love, and learning to function out of that state. And, of course, to do that, forgiveness is about removing everything that is unlike that. It has nothing whatsoever to do with what the Greeks taught us about letting other people off the hook. So letting go of the conversation about I forgive you, I forgive them, I forgive myself, I forgave them, and start to realize that if I choose to let somebody off the hook for what's happening inside of me, I'm pardoning them. Accurately spoken, I'm pardoning them, and that's a good thing to do. And then, once I realize that what I've done is pardon them, I step into the next level of my own work, and I enter into the realm of forgiveness. I enter into the realm of removing what never belonged within my mind, within my body, within my energy field. And when I remove those things that drive me to hostility and fear, I get to function as love. That's just a sweet space to be, sweet place to be. So that's our basic bottom line. And Dr. Tim, anything to share with us? What's exciting in your world?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm here in Illinois where we're off and on rainy, but getting warmer slowly. And I just want to put, I was driving back from Peoria. I'm actually driving down and driving back recently, and I just want to put a plug in for the archives and especially the archives from 2014, where almost every Friday was Aramaic Friday. And I had the pleasure of listening to one Aramaic Friday recently that was Ari called in. Ari had a conversation with you, Michael, and Dale prior to the show, and he called in with a question about the whole idea of circumcision and the idea of the mystical text, Kabbalah, and just a fascinating discussion with Dale and Ari and you, and really getting into some of the clarity about what the real teachings were about. And they weren't about the physical and the body parts and needing to cut off a part of a human anatomy physically, but talking about cutting off and getting rid of all of the false negative emotional states and the veils that keep us from seeing our true nature. It's just lovely. And to have those available in the archive is quite a joy. And right now I was trying to figure out the date, but I can't, it must have been in the spring because you were saying that you were going to be getting into Heartland before too long. But it was a Friday in 2014, probably in, what would that have been, May? When did you start the intensive sessions last summer?
Probably would have been May. It probably would have been May.
So that, you know, that's one thing is I just want to put a plug in for those, that fabulous library of shows, especially those in the 2014 year where Dale was kind enough to call in almost every Friday and give us some opportunity to ask questions about words that are commonly used and concepts that are commonly talked about in spiritual terms and in our culture that come from the ancient Aramaic, which for the most part have been dramatically shifted from their original meaning. And that was a really good show where Ari called in about the circumcision. And the other thing that was hitting me in some other shows and some deeper reading I was doing lately is the blending of two concepts, this thing about how we're frequently talking, we hit it a couple times in the past couple weeks, the idea that one of the pseudo-solutions for the non-being mind is that it's going to try and figure things out. And if it can just figure things out and figure out how to control everything and everyone, it'll avoid its pain. And how often we fall into the trap of figuring things out. Well, somehow or another, in the past few days, it just hit me at a whole different level that when we talk about how I must die each day and I must die to be reborn, that it just hit me at a different level that one way for me to stay on top of this in myself, whenever I start getting frustrated because I can't figure out how to get out of my anger or how to fix my financial situation or how to fix my relationship issue, the part of me that wants to figure that out must die. I must literally kill off that part of myself, let it go, cancel it, die to the part of me that wants to figure it out, and let something greater than that provide me with the answers. So that's what's been on my mind.
Awesome. I'm in full agreement. I haven't sat down and counted exactly how many shows there are in the archives, but there's got to be close to 1,000 hours at this point. And it is really, one, a blessing for us to have this radio show to be able to share these tools with people and then have that in a format that anybody that wants it in the world can pick it up and listen to it freely is just, you know, monumental. And the way to get it, folks, is just go to our website, whyagain.org, click the link to the radio show, and it'll just follow the instructions. You'll get to the archives and be able to download that. And you might want to look at the Facebook post. My Facebook page is JM_RYCE. There's a Facebook post that I did a couple of weeks ago. You should have to go back through it, but where we talk about some of the medical history, or I actually posted an article of someone who's talking about the medical history of circumcision and what has been done to men in our culture that is just totally and completely, brutally insane. And the medical stories that were made up, and it's not much different than some medicine is practiced today, the medical stories that were made up to terrorize people into cutting body parts off their children. I mean, literally, they recount how there are cases where, because a child, a young boy, was masturbating, they literally castrate him. Well, that'll stop him from masturbating, as though, you know, that's some sort of deep, deep insanity. And it's just like, it's an interesting read when you look at the history, and it's also an interesting clue or cue into how to see through some of the manipulations that are done to force us into doing things that are insane, whether it's medically or otherwise. The other thing that that comes to mind is just to bring up at this moment, Dale and his wife Loretta. They were up in New Jersey on their way back, and they stopped and got themselves a submarine sandwich somewhere, and it seems they both got food poisoning. So they were actually on their way here, and Loretta, when I spoke to her about 2 hours ago, was still in the hospital. And Dale was home at a hotel where he was dealing with this food poisoning issue. So he was supposed to be here to, we were going to do Aramaicisms, and it looks like that whole plan has collapsed with them being stuck up there. And so we could really surround Dale and Loretta with that sweetness and active presence of love to support them moving up and out the other side. It sounds like over some food poisoning that Loretta's had, it sounds like, several thousand dollars in medical bills run up already, and this morning they're trying to convince her to do more. And so it's interesting, and they could certainly use our love and support right now. So to both Dale and Loretta, let's just take a minute and just kind of tap into that energy of love and surround them and see them in it and being supported by it. And beyond that, Jeannie tells us that we have a couple of callers. So let's say hello to a caller. Jeannie?
Okay, the first one, I believe, is Danielle from France.
Welcome. This is the Skype caller from France. Hello? France, you're on the air. You have a connection problem? Danielle, you're on the air. Are you with us? You are connected, Danielle, from France. Are you on the phone? Well, it looks like there's a bad connection. Maybe, Danielle, you could just hang up. We'll take another caller and try Skyping back in again, and we'll have that conversation. We are here to support you.
Next caller is 863.
So 863, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Carolyn from Sebring. And I had called, I was called in several times, but maybe a week or so ago I had called in about our financial situation. And interestingly enough, on Saturday we received an unexpected check in the mail, and just $200, but it still was a lovely welcome. And then this morning at 8 a.m., I get a call from our bank that said that we needed to call them immediately because somebody had attempted to use our debit card in Brooklyn, New York, where, of course, we've been in Sebring all weekend. So I'm just trying to figure out the correlation between the two. One was, you know, good news, and the next one was, quote-unquote, fearful news that before I made the call, maybe they wiped out the whole thing. And so just kind of asking for help to walk me through so I don't stay in the fear place.
So number one, of course, one of the things you can do is step into the knowledge that if somebody fraudulently uses your card, it's not your problem. So if they happen to take something out of your account, it will be restored in pretty promptly. So
okay.
You can be assured of that.
Right.
And secondly, recognize that fear is surfacing. And, you know, sometimes when we get to a new level of vitality, it's not long before the next layer comes up and we get the opportunity to work through the next layer. And so I would offer that probably one of the things that has kept you or you've kept yourself in this challenge around money with is with fear about money.
Right.
And so I'd be stepping in and doing a worksheet around fear and money. And, you know, the object of attention could be Carolyn, could be, you know, number one C, could be Carolyn. The object could be money. The object could be fear. Each
mm-hmm.
one would produce different healing result as you literally collapse the ability to be in fear about anything. And as you do that, what will tend to happen is you'll develop a trust of the Creator. And your trust of the Creator will leave you where you know that whatever's going on, you're taken care of. You're handled as you make
mm-hmm.
that connection. And that power supports you and goes before you wherever it needs to go to take care of you. And when we're disconnected from love, when we're disconnected from our human lives, we forget that and we lose our connection with that and tend to create other things. So it sounds like it's just your next layer getting ready to surface for healing. And that's pretty awesome.
It is awesome. I appreciate that. All right. Well, hope you find Danielle in France. And thank you.
Okay, Carolyn. Delighted. Blessings.
Thank you. You too.
All righty. Lots of love.
Lots of love.
So Danielle, expecting him, let's see if we've got your voice this time. Young lady, are you with us? Hello, Danielle.
Hello. Can you hear me? Nothing's happening. Nope.
I can hear you loud and clear, Danielle.
I don't know why. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, I'm on. I was trying to find another headset. I'm complaining over here. Thank you.
Where we saw you last.
What?
I say you're a long way from Las Vegas where we saw you last.
Yeah. Well, I am back in France. I came back here in September, and I'm raising my little guy over here. It's really nice. He's
awesome.
3.5 now.
Wow.
Yeah. And my living room is often filled with your forgiveness worksheets. So I'm still doing them, you know.
Right. Well, I think he was just not much more than a twinkle in your eye the last time we saw you. You were just maybe a couple of months pregnant. So it's awesome.
Yes. And I'm doing amazing with his father. Like, we separated, but we're really good friends. And, the forgiveness work really helps because, like, we're just really good co-parents, you know. And, there's, like, no resentment left. I mean, I worked a year on it, but it's most of it. I mean, it's all gone. But I did have a question, if I can ask you.
Please do.
So, I did a ton of worksheets on my son as well when he was, you know, when he doesn't listen, or when my perception tells me he doesn't listen, and I realize, you know, I had a lot of good moments where I was like, I don't listen to me, like it's not him not listening to me. But I've realized there's a point where I don't know how to handle it. It's when, you know, I feel really stressed. I'm short on time, and I'm, I work from home. I have a healing practice. Yeah, and so sometimes I have clients coming over, and my son doesn't want to get ready, or, you know, it's like I'm crunched for time, and he's not listening. And so I turn into this crazy, violent person, like what I experienced my mother as when she was stressed, you know,
Your power person.
So, yeah, my power person. And it's funny because my sister, I healed so much with my mom. She died when I was 18, but, like, I'm so at peace with her. I'm not as much at peace with my sister. I guess my question was, is my power person necessarily someone who is a parent, or could it be like an older sibling? Or, yeah, I guess I'm, I have...
Many people, you know, most of us tend to have actually more than one power person. The key that will tell you what your who your main power person is when the stress is up and the chips are down, whose behavior do you default to? Do you default to what your mom did, or do you default to what your older sister did? That would tell you who your key power person is. And, of course, recognizing that, and for anybody who's new to the concept of a power person, that's somebody in our lives who had more power or lives at some point than you did. So, and they were not functioning as well. So you have a great potential here, Danielle, to either heal the power person issue or become your son's power person. And, of course, if you learn the ability to function out of love, then you will tend to become his power person. And so the idea would be that I go in and, you know, and it sounds like probably the behaviors were maybe similar between mom and your big sister.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So I'd be doing worksheets on both arenas. I'd be doing worksheets around mom. And seeing as how this is about him listening, I'd be doing worksheets around me and listening and mom, me and listening and sister. Because what you want to do is clean out the power person dynamics, the replicating of the energy of your power person that was poured into you when you didn't listen. And so, you know, when a child is conceived out of someone who has a particular issue, they have in their minds the same behavioral pattern as their power person, the same what you want to do instead of play out of those dynamics when your son triggers them, and you know, chances are that when you're in a hurry and you want them to listen, you want to get going, if you've got unresolved issues from when you were, you know, perhaps abused for not hurrying and not getting going and not being ready, then you're literally setting up an energy that says to him, don't cooperate with me on this. I need for you to bring up my fear, my rage, my guilt, my pain, my abuse, so that I can forgive it. That's the unconscious communication with the child. And you might remember me saying in the workshops when we were out in Las Vegas that having a child is like having your unconscious mind hanging out in true living color and Dolby sound. Everything you've never dealt with, they're going to bring up for you. And that's as it should be. That's powerful. And as you use the tools, you'll process through those things. Now, you're probably not going to process through them on the first, the second, the 10th, or the 20th worksheet. But that's an arena I'd keep working in. Again, both mom and sister being objects of attention, self is object of attention, not listening is object of attention. All of those things could go into number 1C, and all of those things will help to collapse or drain off the energy that you absorbed from your power person when they went berserk around that issue. You know, whenever I uncontrollably pour an issue or an energy out of my mouth or out of my energy field towards someone, what my person poured out toward me. And it's, you know, the core of forgiveness is removal. So my work is removing that. Now, chances are, here you sit in the middle of two generations looking at mom, looking at yourself and your sister, and looking at your son. This is probably something that your sister came by honestly with her power person, that your mom came by honestly through her power person who came by it through, you know, we could probably go back many, many generations and see that behavior. And I acknowledge you and congratulate you for saying, in essence, the buck stops here. I'm going to work through this. And it would be your 77x70 worksheet issue.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it's an issue that I didn't directly do worksheets on because I didn't see it as clearly as I just saw it, you know. But,
okay.
So just so I'm clear, let's say I on the worksheet I put my mom, like on 1A, whose name do I put, my mom or my sister?
No. Well, if you're doing the latest 7-step worksheet, it starts out in it's your name. So you'd say, I, Daniel, who am love, feel,
yes.
And what's your feeling? Frustration, rage, whatever it is.
Okay.
And then the object of attention is perhaps your son. You'd put your son's name in number 1C. We've changed the worksheet
okay.
a little bit so that...
Yeah, I have the old one. Okay.
Well, I would suggest that you switch to the new one because it is more concise and more leading you to the point. And it's on the website. So actually, if you give us till about 20 minutes after the show, the latest one that I just edited this morning will get on the website shortly after the show.
Okay.
And so then I look at the object of attention in the situation, and the situation is, you know, he doesn't cooperate and get ready. And so this could be another place where you go into your file on cooperation. And you might look at how did these things impact the fact that you had someone you were in relationship with and you've divorced now and are co-parenting, but co-parenting separately. You might look at whether any of those issues were what played in, and some worksheets around that might help, because if you clear that up, you'll tend more to move into the family dynamics and clean up the family dynamics. But this is what the worksheet is made for. So then I'd move forward. So number 1C, he's not cooperating, and the thought that causes my feeling. So when I'm frustrated because he's not cooperating, of course, we've been taught a very powerful system of denial in our culture. That happens, it frustrates me. The truth is that in between the event and the frustration, there's what in the ancient teachings was called a money changer. There's a thought, it changes an event into the cause of something that I'm feeling. So what's the thought, if you just tap in, what's the thought you think, Danielle, that leads you to frustration in this situation?
Oh, that's crazy. I just remembered something. So my thought is he's not going to let me work. It's like he's not letting me work. And I remember being 10 years old and asking my mom if I could get a job because I was so independent. You know, I just wanted to work. And she told me no. So that's just what came up. Yeah.
Interesting. Nice. Good memory. That's the kind of memory that you want to... Now, right now, I'd start a second worksheet then around that issue when I was 10 and Mom wouldn't let me work.
Mm-hmm.
That will help. So now we're linking the file on parent, self, child, frustration, rage, and work.
Yeah.
And each of those files, what you want to do is you want to do worksheets around each of those files to get to the root content of those files that's based in hostility and fear, and remove that content. Remember, the word forgive is remove. Remove that content so that you can be 15 minutes before your client gets there and your son is, you know, doing his thing, because, you know, he really doesn't care that you've got a client. That's not in his realm. His realm is, I just got a new red rubber ball and I want to play with it. No, I don't want to put my shoes on. I want to play with this new red rubber ball. He's got a different purpose than you do and a different goal. And so as you clean out the energy that your power person poured onto you and you no longer have it, you may look at yourself in that situation and say, you know, here he is. Look at this life. Look at this awesome life and his enthusiasm about that red rubber ball. And I'm going to be with my enjoyment of him enjoying and playing with the red rubber ball, and I'm going to call my client and say, we're going to be a few minutes late.
Right.
Instead of, I have to turn the energy of my power person toward my son and make me his power person and take him out of enthusiasm and love.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I mean, that's why I'm calling you, because I can really... Thanks to your work, I stay in a place of love through so much, you know. And so when I get like that, I'm like, what is this? Like, this isn't me. This isn't my truth.
Yeah.
So I will bring it to clearing. Which is awesome.
Cool.
Thank you.
Well, you're right on track, and that'll give you several different places. You know, if you start doing worksheets in each of those arenas, you'll see this capacity to produce upset or rage when your son isn't listening, you'll see that disappear and be replaced with the presence of love, and you'll just be a space of love for that. And what will happen is, out of that space of love, you'll tend to more be able to inspire your son to cooperate with you and do what needs to be done.
Oh, yeah, he's so good. I mean, you know, he's so incredible how much he does and cooperates most times. He's just not around work, you know, and that's my biggest issue. It's stuff he's helping me heal.
Well, that's perfect that you got that memory of being 10. I want to go to work. Mom stops me. And so as long as I hold a reality that people in my family stop me from doing what I want to do or from working, then I'm literally with that mentally charged reality sending out a message. And, of course, he's your unconscious mind. Hell, I'm sending out a message that says, you got to stop me from working.
Right.
Be ingenious to do everything necessary to help you to bring that result about. And, of course, as you engage in the forgiveness process, drop in and clean that out, that will change.
Good. Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to start doing it. I mean, it just happened today that, you know, I had this realization. So I got called you pretty quickly. I'm not going to stay with it. You know?
Nice. Well, you've got our support to keep us posted on how it's going and put a support group together. You know, you want to really move to another level. Especially if you're doing a healing practice, start gathering people and teaching them the forgiveness process. Get a group together, and then you'll have enough energy to come over there and do some workshops.
Well, it's in French, but I have started a women's group, and today I walk them through your worksheet. So
awesome.
It started. And I'm working, Michael, with a ton of moms who have issues with their children, triggering them, and I try to explain, like what you said, you said in a much better way. So maybe I need to train with you. We need to figure out a way where I can do it where it's really, you know what I mean, like where I do it right. I mean, it's been working. They understand the worksheets. They understand the work. I just feel like, you know, at some point I might need more training.
It's a process. We're all learning it.
Yes.
You know, we've got several intensives this summer, and so just take a look and see if there's a space that fits, and let's set it up and do it. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in France, but if I do need to come to the States, so I'll try to make something work. Sounds awesome.
All right.
Okay.
Fabulous.
Thank you so much.
All right, Danielle.
Good
to hear from you, and hold you and your whole family in a blessing.
And
remember,
this call is archived. You can download it and play it back for your group.
Yes, except they don't speak English, so that's another issue. So we need to do them in French.
Oh, okay.
But thank you.
Cool. Well, I think the worksheet is on the website in French, and we're working on the book.
Awesome. Okay, good. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your work. It's very precious.
Lots of love and blessings.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Mamba.
Listen, Danielle, are you still there?
Yes.
Danielle?
You might
go to a website, mymommymanual.com. And this is the website of a woman named Suzanne Tucker, someone we've worked with to work for about 20 years, and she's doing conscious parenting classes. And I'm sure she'd love to hear from you and be happy to share with you, you know, anything and everything. Are you linked to us on Facebook?
I'll look. I don't know. I'm not, yeah.
Well, if you're not, it's JM_RYCE. Send me a friend request and link in. And then I just posted some of her information just a couple of days ago, so you could just go through the links and look for Suzanne Tucker and My Mommy Manual. And I'm sure she'd love to share with you what she's doing with mom. She's doing some awesome stuff with conscious parenting.
Yeah, that's been coming really strongly for me to do more of as well. So that's good.
Connect in with Suzanne, and that'll be awesome. And
okay,
Dr. Tim
you.
Has
Great.
A Dr. Tim has a parenting manual that he makes available free. Tim, do you want to tell Danielle how to get that?
Well, if you go to my website, which is www.ch4cs.com. And if you send me an email through that website, I'll be happy to send you a copy.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Thank you so much. This is awesome.
Delighted. Delighted.
Okay.
Blessings.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Good. Okay. Talk soon.
Okay. Take care. Blessings. Bye-bye. I love this technology. Here, Dr. Tim sits in Chicago, or actually you're probably Crystal Lake right now, and here we are in Orlando, and Danielle is in is a young lady that we met in Las Vegas who's now in France. And, you know, I love the way this technology works and supports us and how we can support people all over the globe. It's pretty awesome. So, Jeannie, do you have another hand up? Or actually, before we do that, and I'm just, you know, reflecting, Dr. Tim, do you have anything else to share with Danielle? I kind of got over that pretty quickly, but any other thoughts for her?
Well, my one thought was whether they're speaking French or not, she can download this, and I was just going to echo that it's perfect what you said, blends in beautifully with what the issue she was having. And then when she said she's got to try and work with these other women about issues with their children, if she just listens to this and she can translate it, but that was a very nice, meaty working of the power person dynamic and an example of how to flesh out several worksheets from that. So that would be my feedback, is for her to listen to the show until she's got it down, and then she can translate it into French for them.
And perhaps if you send her a copy of your book, perhaps she'd even translate your book into French. Who knows?
That would be lovely.
Good. Get it into some other languages and make it available. Very cool. Well, Jeannie, you've got another caller for us?
Michael, are you there?
I am here, yes, sir.
Okay, well, I wasn't hearing Jeannie at all.
Oh, okay. Then Jeannie was just apologizing that someone who was in the chat room, I guess, had used some foul language, and she had cleared it up, so she was apologizing to folks in the chat room. So something that you can't always be on top of 100%, but they've been blocked from the chat room. And so our call-in number, 646-200-4169. We've got about 15 minutes left. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a thought. And, you know, I noticed one of the dynamics oftentimes is people wait till the last 2 minutes to drop in and ask their question. And if that's kind of how you do things, I just invite you to look at self-sabotage, because usually at the two-minute point, we have time for the question, but not much of an answer. And so if you have a question, you know, you've got 15 minutes. We've got time for some good conversation around an issue or two yet. So if you're in the phone queue, you push 1. That will put your hand up, and Jeannie will introduce you. If you're in the chat room, of course, you can type your question, and we'll repeat it here. Or you can, if you're on one of those stations that we can't access and you're listening to us through a computer or whatever, you can call 646-200-4169 and push 1. And when you push 1, that puts you in the phone queue and raises your hand, says, got a question. If you don't have a question, you don't need to push 1. You can just listen to the show by calling in. So if you've got a question for us, a thought, we'd love to hear from you. Well, I'm going to talk then a little bit about the a piece that I haven't talked about, I don't think, ever on the show. You know, we're doing teachers training, and in teachers training, we use the original 11-step. After we've gone through and taught the 7-step, we go back so that teachers who run into people who are still working with the original 11-step from 30 years ago have some insight into it. It's got some steps in it that are not in the worksheet anymore. And so one of the things that's in there is what we call the Boy Scout story. Someone who doesn't have that video or the audio track to listen to might look at that worksheet and wonder what that's about. And it's a story about a gentleman that I worked with who came to an intensive specifically because he had an issue of having physically abused his children. And it was not where he wanted to live. It's not the kind of thing that he did. And it was something that just, for him, came out of the blue. You know, it wasn't the way he fathered, and all of a sudden he's physically abusing his children. And when we got down to the root of it, he did a particular worksheet where the memory that came up was that of being a young boy, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, I don't remember exactly, maybe 9, and he was a Boy Scout. And he went off to Boy Scout camp, and he's at this camp, and some of the guys, you know, they get together and they go out for a hike, and they find a camp office that's kind of remote from the rest of the property, and there's nobody there, and the building's open, and they go inside, and they ransack and destroy the office. He said it was just like somebody clicked a switch in them, and all of a sudden they just all went nuts and just destroyed the place. And he said, in the same way that we started, just like a click happened, he said there was a click, and we stopped, and we looked at each other. We left that building and never, ever said another word about what we'd done. So it was kind of a painful memory for him, kind of thing he was proud of, or ever as a Boy Scout would even think of himself doing. Seems like, you know, maybe he engaged in some kind of a group energy, because he talked about it just being triggered, and all of a sudden everybody did this behavior. But when he touched into that, he saw that where his abuse of his children came from was when they destroyed something. It was something that just came out of left field. He'd never raised a hand to them. He'd never done anything like that. And all of a sudden, he uncontrollably is doing this. And it points out a dynamic of the mind that when there's something hidden that's in the unconscious that's too painful for us to deal with, that oftentimes we'll use the behavior of our power person in order to keep that suppressed, in order to keep that dissociated content out of sight and out of awareness. And so his children destroying resonates this old unresolved pain about him having been destructive. And so as he sees that, he's able to resolve the conflict within his mind that has him unconsciously reaching out and physically hitting his children, which was not what he wanted to do. And so in that particular section in the 11-step worksheet, we ask people, what's your Boy Scout story? Do you have something that triggers you into behavior that you'd rather not be doing? Like, for instance, Danielle just kind of gave us a picture of a Boy Scout story. You know, here I want to get to work and my son's blocking me, and all of a sudden I drop into this memory of I'm 10, I want to go to work, and my mom won't let me. So that kind of ties in with that. Then the next question that's asked in that particular section of the 11-step worksheet is this a family motto? Is this something that is done in my family system regularly? And so if it is, then I start to look at that dynamic, because sometimes my Boy Scout story is generational. And so as I look at and I allow myself to drop into the parts of my mind, into the memories, you know, Danielle, having done several worksheets, didn't even have to go to step 5 of canceling her goal. She just pretty much immediately dropped right into that memory. And, of course, when you're doing worksheets and the mind knows what's coming, oh, you're going to cancel this goal, we're going to get to see something underneath, the mind goes there oftentimes before you even do it. And that's, you know, part of the training, part of doing the worksheets on a regular basis, and why when people first do the Why workshop, we suggest that they do 5 worksheets a day for 40 days, that they're training their minds to support them in engaging in that process of forgiveness until the mind simply automatically does it. And it's pretty powerful when that happens. So that's the Boy Scout story in that worksheet, if you ever look at that 11-step. Tim, have you ever tapped into the 11-step worksheet?
Yes, that was the that's what I was introduced to the work on from the 4-hour audio CD.
Right.
So I got to hear you describe the Boy Scout story in that audio CD, and that was the first worksheet that I started working with back along the line.
Cool. Well, you've been through a few of them, haven't you?
I've had to do worksheets on how many I've been through.
Tell us about that, Dr. Kim.
Well, at different times, especially after we got the support group going, and we were working on the 12-step worksheet that came into vogue right around the time I started doing the support group, and people just loved it. And I was good at explaining it, and I'd been down to Heartland, and I had sat in with Julie on several of her special sessions where she was working with people, teaching us how to do the worksheet better and deeper and understand it at different levels. And I was coming back and working with the support group, and then all of a sudden the worksheet would change, and it went to the 7-step worksheet. And we had all kinds of people in the support group who were frustrated with, why don't we keep doing the 12-step, which is got such a good rhythm and we like it so much. And then I weathered the first storm or two, but then there was a period of time where probably a couple times a week, Michael would talk about, here's a new change to the worksheet. And I found myself getting very frustrated with, you know, I'm just trying to get used to getting the group to accept this. And some of us had made, you know, numerous copies of the original 7-step worksheet, you know, like 30 or 40 or 50 copies. And then the worksheet changed, and we were being encouraged to use the new worksheet. And I found a lot of frustration resonated in me about wasting the old worksheets, you know, having to create new ones, having to put up with the upset and frustration of the group members, being made to look, in my mind, the thought was coming up that I'm looking unprofessional because I'm not sticking with one consistent thing which was already working. And so I did a number of worksheets and tapping sessions on all kinds of different issues that got resonated around the multiple changes in the worksheet process. And it was quite productive. It opened up issues related to professionalism. It opened up issues related to my self-worth and competence. It opened up issues related to flexibility and rigidity. So that's what I was referring to. Are you there, Michael? Am I there? Maybe not. But I'm not hearing Michael or Jeannie.
Try calling it again. Okay, Tim.
Yes.
Yep, you've got me. My phone, I don't know what's happening. There's some problems with the switchboard. So my phone cut out, so now I've got Jeannie's phone. And she doesn't have a phone. She's going to try phoning in on, or calling back in on mine. But it is amazing, isn't it, how it's almost as though life is just custom designed to give us the opportunity to learn forgiveness and work through whatever it is we haven't worked through. It's so sweet and so neat.
Well, I didn't realize that that's the way life worked. No one ever taught me that that's how life worked. And, of course, I didn't really have good tools for accomplishing the goal of learning from whatever life gave me until I started to engage this process as a perpetually avid student of this work. And now I'm learning to become a master of it by allowing it to constantly teach me anew.
Yay. Yay, awesome. And of course, you know, it's such an amazing process when I look at all the years of doing this work, at what opportunities life has given me. Every time that I need an opportunity. Life just shows up and bingo, there it is. It's like, just like it was designed for that. And anyone who chooses to engage in this work is going to get those kinds of opportunities and have the ability to work through whatever it is that that never belonged in their minds. And, of course, what never belonged in our minds was any form of hostility or fear. And so here we are getting the opportunity to move through that. It's pretty sweet and pretty powerful. Now the internet's down here. That's the problem. So I guess Jeannie can't open any callers on the show.
Well,
but
let
we
me
are
just
down
add
to just
something.
A couple minutes.
That,
please
let
do.
Let me just add something that came in at the very end of that wonderful conversation with Ari and Dale and you about the Kabbalah and about circumcision and about really, you know, Dale came in and talked about how there were quotes from scripture that talk about circumcising the heart, and it's not talk about
yes.
It's not talking about circumcising the penis or cutting anything off other than cutting off what doesn't belong in terms of negative energy. And at the
right.
very end of the call, Ari came on and said that his understanding is that the true meaning of the word Kabbalah isn't mystical, isn't magical, isn't voodooish, isn't, you know, magic. It's essence. The word Kabbalah, from Ari's understanding, meant essence. And that those are the mystical, the true mystery teachings of, at the heart of the teaching, the spiritual teachings of the Jewish faith. And that's, you know, what Dale is trying to get at by going back to the Aramaic, is looking at the true spiritual mystery teachings at the heart of what is called the New Testament. So I just
yes.
wanted to toss that in.
Cool. Yeah, it's right on track. You know, it's been a developing understanding for thousands of years, and we're blessed that we get to work with the original Aramaic tools, because the understanding that's there is just beyond comprehension, just so far beyond comprehension that it's amazing. And so we're down to the last minute or so, and I'm going to just say thank you, everybody, for joining us, and thank you, Dr. Tim, for your input and your support. We're going to be breathing, folks, tomorrow. I'm not sure how the day is going to unfold exactly, but if necessary, do you think you might be available for the show tomorrow?
I will make it happen.
Awesome. Okay, well, I'll keep you posted on how it's unfolding, but it looks like we're probably going to be in a breath session right through radio show time tomorrow. It's the last full day of the workshop, and then Wednesday morning we'll complete it. So anyway, we just thank everyone for joining us, and we hold you in a blessing, and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give. Take care. Bye-bye.